Survivor, the show that brings you proven health solutions backed by laboratory science with over 35 years of continued research. I am your host, Johnny Delirious, laboratory naturopathic doctor. While everybody else in the mainstream health field uses radiations, oils, poisons, potions, and lotions, with the Master Survivor Program, we have laboratory science and testing using the HTMA to find the right food to balance your cells. We have the three R's from Microbiome Laboratories to balance your gut and eliminate candida. With the YTE products from Health Evolution, we improve your stem cell repair and eliminate your cortisol and stress. All healing occurs because your body does the rest. You get well and you stay well. And we have the human studies to show that, where we prove this over and over again. Now today I'm going to show where all this came from. We're going to take a little trip down memory lane. We're going to see how Johnny came to all these remarkable conclusions, as a matter of fact, because everybody told me I was going to die, and that was over 28 years ago. Okay? We're also going to later on talk about uranium. Are they poisoning us? But first, I want to tell you a little bit more how I got to this point. Now, the reason I'm kind of changing it up a little bit is because I had a big discussion with a person just recently the other day. You know, they're a vegan and, oh, you eat meat. And so I went through that whole thing with them. And I told them, you know, one time I was a vegan. They go, "What? Why did you go back?" And, you know, and boy, I tell you what, I couldn't get rid of them. And so I'm going to, you know, discuss, should we be a vegan or a flesh eater? Should be a vegetarian or eat meat? You know, the Master Survivor does both. When I told him I did both, boy, that really got him. He just became unglued. You can't be both. You know, he's like, "What?" You know, so I said, "Yeah, the Master Survivor. I'm the Master Survivor. I do both." And he goes, "What?" And so you ask how that could be, and you're either one or the other. You either eat animal products or you don't. How can you be both? And so I just want to show you the logic behind this view and help you understand the full story we have. And we have to go back in time. Like I said, this is over 28 years ago, and this is kind of how things developed for Johnny, because just sit back and listen, because when I had a life-threatening health crisis over 28 years ago, you know, the doctors had given me less than 8 months to live because my liver was so ravaged by 12 million hepatitis C viral load and over 96% scar tissue. And then, you know, that was revealed by the liver biopsy. They took a core sample of my liver, and the lab came back, and it was over 96% scar tissue. So the head of gastroenterology said I had to have a liver transplant to survive. Now, some of you know my story, but bear with me because I'm going into some other important details. So I refused the transplant. The doctor said I was delirious because I refused the drug treatment and the transplant, so I was just delirious. I was hopeless. This was in 1992 in a University of Mississippi hospital in Jackson, Mississippi, and I was ridiculed by my family and friends when the doctor decided not to do any of the conventional medical treatment. I was on my own. In 1993, I decided to go back to my roots in Northwest Florida. My thought was, if they were right and I was going to die, well, I wanted to be at least back to the beach and be close to the ocean where I grew up. So I wanted to go surfing and fishing and swimming and sailing. And if I was going to die, I was going to die that way and just feed myself to the sharks. That was just my view. Okay, so arriving in Pensacola, Florida, I enrolled in University of West Florida, where I earned my bachelor's degree in communications. It's my third bachelor's, but anyway, during this time period, I was a student not only at the university, but I used all the resources of the library, and the newly developed World Wide Web, because the World Wide Web was really just starting to come on at that time. So I used the internet at the library at the University of West Florida to find all the information I could about hepatitis and cirrhosis. And from all my work managing an analysis laboratory, you had to remember that I had to close the lab. I had to close and sell Davenport Labs in 1991 because I was so sick. So, but all through the 80s, I learned a lot about health. I had a solid base of knowledge and understanding about the systems of the how the body worked and all that. And that was one of the reasons why I refused the transplant, but also knew a bit about biochemistry of the cells. And with my new research, I was learning how we as humans interact not only with hepatitis virus, but virus of all types, whether it's HIV, whether it's, these other flu virus or whatever it is. And since I had a high viral load inside my liver and my bloodstream, I realized the key for me to live was to get my liver well. Okay. So the liver performs hundreds of different functions, and it's such a gift and a marvel to us that the ancient Greeks, as well as the masters during the Renaissance, the Greeks and, the Renaissance masters were rediscovering what the Greeks did. They believed that the liver was our most important organ. They said it gave us life. That's what Hippocrates said. That's what, a lot of the Renaissance masters said. They rediscovered what the Greeks said. Hence the root of its name, because it helps us live. Okay, the Greeks said it gave us life, and the Renaissance masters says it helps us live. So therefore, over the centuries to follow, it was called the liver, because it helps us live. Okay, that's where the root of the word came from. Only in the past 200 or 300 years, modern science downgraded the liver's status to being the third most important organ after the heart and the brain, respectively. Now, physiologically, the liver's importance to the body remains more important than ever. This is especially true when one, such as myself, is recovering from hepatitis C viral infestation that occurs inside this organ, okay? So once hepatitis virus is contracted, it takes hold and takes up squatter camps in the liver and occupies inside each hepatic cell. The eventual result is the cell dies and becomes scar tissue. When viral load goes up, more virus occupy more cells, and more cells die inside the liver, liver cells, hepatic cells. Scar tissue increases as viral load increases. Eventually, all cells in the liver are occupied, at which point the liver will cease to function. Death is the imminent result. Once I came to this understanding and realized what was happening to me, my conclusion was not only to lower my viral load, but to eliminate the virus altogether. I said, I just got to get rid of that virus, get that bug out, heal my liver. That was my goal. So during all this research at the university, I learned the main function of the liver was to keep the blood chemistry balanced. When you think you can lose your arms, you can lose your legs, but that, head and that torso, that center where all your vital organs are, it's got to keep that blood chemistry balanced to keep all those organs like your brain and your heart fed, nourished, and functioning. The liver has hundreds of functions, but the reason I say that it's the most important organ still, like the Greeks and like the Renaissance masters did, is because the blood supplies the brain and the heart with food. It is most important. It keeps our brain and our heart alive and healthy. In other words, the right balance of sugars, electrolytes, and minerals and fatty acids in the blood to keep the heart and brain going was, is primary. Another primary function is to keep the toxins out of the blood and away from those vital organs. The Greeks were right. The liver helps us live. It is the most important organ. It keeps everything else in check. If you have an infection in the body or a high viral load in the liver, this organ will work hard to keep those toxins out of the bloodstream to protect the heart and the brain. Therefore, any extra burden of toxins coming in from what we breathe, from what we eat, from what we drink, will be a detriment to the body systems and lower our immunity strength because it's a detriment to the liver. Meats are a burden for the liver because of the many processes it needs to perform to get those proteins to a usable form in the body. You know, and this, you know, it has to do all those things. If you're healthy, then okay, meat's not a problem. But this is especially true and it's compromised when you have a high viral load because it's already got this virus taking squatter camps in every hepatic cell in your body. It's just a matter of time, you know, that you die. And that's how you die. So commercial grade fast foods were out and not part of my recovery diet at that time. And I did all my own cooking. I knew I had to eat as clean as possible and lower my protein intake. So eliminating meat was next. I ate only organic and went with a vegan diet, no animal products, and drank only spring water. Remember, my goal was to get rid of the virus. During this time period of my recovery, I started volunteer work at the Natural Co-op's food store. I assisted the instructor of the organic gardening course at the local college. And then with three others, I founded the Pensacola Vegetarian Society. So yes, I was totally vegan. And this is over two or so and a half years or more. Mostly, I grew all my own garden, all my own food myself in my garden, cooked my own food, and all other products that I did consume was organic from the co-op. Okay, because with my volunteer work, I could get a special discount at the co-op. So I did juice fasts and colonic irrigations. I started running 75 miles per week to train for the local marathons. You know, the Blue Angel Marathon there at Pensacola Naval Air Station. Every year they had the Blue Angel Marathon. So I did a couple of those marathons and while I was recovering. And so this, in my view, was about as clean as I could get my body free of toxins and help my liver get strong enough to fight off that virus. Okay? Now, I was also keen on following the hair tissue mineral analysis that I knew so much about in the lab, you know, for the past 10 years that I've been working all through the 80s. And it describes which foods to eat, which foods to avoid. And not only did I monitor my cell chemistry with the HTMA, the hair tissue mineral analysis, but also monitored my liver enzyme levels and liver profile blood tests. So, you know, every 6 months, I would see what my minerals and my cells were doing with my hair tissue mineral analysis. And then every 3 months, I would see what my liver enzyme levels, if they were going down in my liver, so I could see exactly how my progress was. Because if the viral load's going down, then liver enzyme levels go down too. All right, so I was seeing both on the mineral side of the cells, and I was seeing, you know, how my viral load was going down because, you know, about once or twice a year I do a viral load test as well. So by 1994, I achieved my goal. In August of that year, my blood test revealed undetected, you know, like no hepatitis C. That's under the hepatitis heading, no undetected, so no hepatitis C. It was a happy day, you know, when I got rid of the virus, but the joy was short-lived when I realized I still had 96% scar tissue. Now, through my research and experience of being a vegan, I measured that only about 15 or 20% of my total caloric intake was protein because I wasn't eating any meat. You know, so I had to get all my protein from a vegetable source, and I wasn't, You know, I learned that in order for the liver to regenerate more liver cells and build tissue back, I needed at least 70 to 80% of total caloric intake as protein. Because I learned through my research, you know, that I just couldn't rebuild my liver on a vegan diet. My protein had to come from a food source. I could only use, you know, I could not use the concentrated protein powders from soy and these other big, you know, meal mixes and the power drinks that the bodybuilders used that ran. You know, I couldn't do that because it'd be too complicated, you know, too many chemicals for my liver. The protein had to come from a food source, okay? And most of the soy wasn't the best source, and I was already getting plenty of protein from, you know, beans and so forth anyway. But, again, I needed more than, you know, 15 or 20% protein. I needed at least 75 to 80% for the liver to rebuild itself. Because when you remove scar tissue, like I did, you know, if you don't have protein to rebuild it again, then your liver's like Swiss cheese. It's just got holes all in it, and you just really go downhill fast, which I did for a couple of weeks, doing all that running and everything. However, I learned, you know, from looking at my liver enzyme levels every 3 months and looking at my HTMA tests and seeing what my minerals are and seeing what my viral load is. My viral load was already gone. My liver enzyme levels were doing a little bit better, but I had to get rid of that scar tissue. But eating meat like lean chicken, turkey, fish, and occasional beefsteak did not run my liver enzyme levels up. They did not go too high. But those power drinks, all that soy protein and what those weightlifters, because they say, oh, well, you can get, you know, protein from, you know, these other sources. You don't have to eat meat. No, I tried those other sources. They ran my liver enzyme levels up. My liver couldn't process it good enough because it wasn't food. It was man-made. You know, half of it was chemical, even though maybe some of it was a food source. But you can't get, you know, enough protein from a vegetable source. And I'll be right back with more about my methodology.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Everybody, and welcome back to The Master Survivor. And I want you to know that, yes, I did regenerate my liver. I did get rid of the virus. All the doctors told me it was impossible to get rid of the virus and impossible to get rid of cirrhosis. I had gotten the virus out. Now the race was on to eliminate the cirrhosis. So over the next few weeks, I came to an important realization that no one showed me how to do anything. I was truly on my own. The ridicule from the doctors, family, and friends saying I was delirious and going to die drove me on. But they were all wrong. When I eventually got rid of my scar tissue, all verified by MRI, magnetic resonance imaging, at the end of 1995, I realized there is always a way to live if you work hard enough and focus on achieving your goals. Now I'd formulated a methodology to get rid of both the hepatitis C virus and the extensive scar tissue. I had 96% scar tissue, you remember. I got rid of all that. The MRI shows it. Shows no scar tissue. The blood test showed no hepatitis virus. They all said that was impossible. The biggest surprise for everyone is when I start eating meat again in order to get rid of my cirrhosis. This was against the beliefs of every health practitioner I knew. Then I knew my work was truly beyond PhD. Looking death right in the eye was my greatest gift. The ridicule from the doctors, family, and friends saying I was delirious and I was going to die drove me on because I knew they were all wrong. Over the decades, I've helped so many others heal when they too were told they were going to die. So my response to them was, if you decide to become a master survivor, you will live. And I will guide you using laboratory tests every step of the way. So this was my calling. Being a vegan was great and necessary to get rid of a heavy viral load of any kind. I got some people I help with HIV, and we get rid of their virus. I said, you got to go vegan, you know, get rid of that virus. But for other conditions and remedies, it's definitely not the right thing to do. It just depends. I have to see by the tests where your minerals are. There are important essentials needed for our body that are difficult to acquire if you are a strict vegan. One, if you're a strict vegan, you're not getting enough B12. A good source of B12 is liver. Eating liver was definitely helped me in my liver, regenerating my liver itself, my own liver. So other important essentials was getting all the important and necessary amino acids in the diet. And this is especially true getting enough essential amino acids. Of course, now we have the product from Health Evolution called Amino B12. So at times I'm considering going vegetarian again if my chemistry shows that I can handle that, because I've got a good B12 source now. I've also got a good essential amino acid source with the products from Health Evolution. That's the first choice in the Master Survivor Program. So I can get all those essential amino acids in the raw form and the right form of B12 for my body to utilize. But even though vegetarians have a lower heart attack risk, they have a much higher stroke risk. So they're pluses and minuses. So when I say I'm both, I went vegan for 2 or 3 years, strict vegan. I got rid of that virus. But in order to repair my liver and for it to regenerate, it had to have enough protein in a food source that can, you know, it had to be over 75% of my total caloric intake. That had to come from meat. I couldn't get it from any other source. And believe me, I was working at the co-op. I was head of their nutrition department. I could get any product on the market that I wanted. And you know, at a discount. The only way I could get enough protein, that 75 to 85% total caloric intake of protein, was to get it from meat. So I started eating meat again. So when I say I'm both a vegan and a flesh eater, it's true, because it all depends on what's right for you. Everybody has a different experience. But when I do that HTMA, I can see what's going on in your body. I know what needs to be done. I know how much protein you need. I know which foods you need. I know what diseases are coming. I can tell months ahead if you not already have a disease, that a certain disease is about to be, a problem for you. I can see by the test. It's laboratory proven. And I'll be right back. We're going to talk about training.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out, Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer, S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Going to talk about uranium. Now, you know, when I kept talking about the hair tissue mineral analysis, you know, to see where you are, that's the only way we'll know, you know, what you need, what's going on in your body, what's going to happen to your body if you continue on that same course. One of the things we find is toxic heavy metals. We find a lot of people having uranium. So some of you have, may have read my article that was recently published in the the Health News, Health Freedom News. It goes out to 28 countries. It's a big readership. Like I said, it goes out it's worldwide. It goes out to 26 countries. They have, you know, offices in Sweden and Canada, United States, France, so forth. So they've published several articles. The latest issue had an article about uranium, and I've sent some of that, one of those issues to you. So if you read the article, just know that I'm going to, you know, pull from some of that, but this is the long version, okay? This is not, that article was the short version, because I want to show you about how I help people get over uranium when they had too much, okay? Let's go back in time again. Let's just sit back and just see how everything transpired. In one of the last televised events, President Dwight D. Eisenhower was on the air warning us about the increased monopoly of the military-industrial complex. He cautioned the American people that such a combine could gain too much influence on our country and control our government. On YouTube, you can easily find this speech. It's Dwight, you know, President one of his last speeches. And basically, you know, when the war was over, the factories that once made jeeps and planes and tanks, you know, chemicals and explosives for weapons, now had to be overhauled and converted for commercial commerce. Now, this was the late 1940s, and the factories had a surplus of stock of chemicals, equipment, and materials. There was a plethora of hardware, spare parts, and, of course, petroleum and nuclear waste. For example, there were containers full of different raw metal spirals destined to become piston rings and motors for jeeps and tanks. And later, after the war, they were no longer needed. But they had all these, you know, boxes of spirals. So they took what was left of the spirals and sold them as toys. Does anybody remember the Slinky? Well, those are piston rings, folks. Now, everybody was back home. The nuclear industry took off. This was, of course, helped make the Cold War a reality. The talk of the town is man harnessed the power of the sun to create unlimited energy. So electric generators, submarines, aircraft carriers were now all run by nuclear power. You name it, in that day, every modern answer in the early 1950s seemed to be nuclear, even nuclear medicine. We had won the war, the soldiers were proud, and everyone in America seemed great. It was all good. But there was a new war going on that took place, and it turned out to be an ideological war. It was between religion and science. The experts said science and technology gave America victory, but the ministers in the churches said their prayer brought peace to the world. This soft conflict of technology and science, you know, science versus religion, you know, faith was at the center stage of the American mindset. You know, both camps were pumping their theme. Scientists are taught to be atheists, and the priests were busy raising church attendance and pushing people to be faithful. The leaders of the industrial military complex with their science showed promise because they could create the apparent power of the sun right here on Earth and took over the industry and provided the jobs. Because they believed they could conquer nature, many of them thought that they were greater than any god talked about in a church or in a scripture. Some of these industrial leaders began to think that science was the answer to every aspect of man's existence. This premise was reinforced with the push of a button when they moved mountains by splitting the atom. They even had jet aircraft that exceeded the speed of sound. The leaders became arrogant madmen, thinking that they were superior to the forces of nature. This arrogance gave way to folly and stupidity that, due to the gift of hindsight, we now look back, it's quite obvious to see when looking back on their behavior during the 40s and 50s, you see that, you know, them, you know, near ground zero, you know, with the welding goggles on, you know, they told them, hey, it's better in cinema. Bring your wives. You can have front row seats to view the bomb. So here they are with, you know, a pair of welding goggles on, and that was it. And, you know, they would watch the blast. You know, so morality was quietly pushed into the background. Science was deemed to be king. For the entrainment of the masses, they got everyone pumped up on the bomb, and the media would spin it the right way. In essence, they said, nuclear is good. See for yourself. We can split the atom, and you can be the reporter to get the exclusive on the A-bomb blast. In those days, many people picked up radiation at the test sites, and the radioactive dust settled everywhere around the surrounding areas. You can see in all the photos, the reporters and spectators, and they're all sitting there witnessing the detonation of the bomb. Now, many of these were underground testing, but you could see the big plume coming up. You know, or they're out in the ocean and they'd watch, you know, the different things. Everybody knows the drill of what happened. And I hope that people don't, you know, and especially my patients and my audience, I hope you stop using microwave ovens. That's just not a good idea. Don't bring the radiation in your house, please. Okay? That's just a hint from Johnny. Are you worried yet? Just ponder this. Much of the waste from the nuclear industry is extremely hazardous to our health. And yes, they, when they came up with the invention of the microwave, they really pumped that too to be the answer for all our cooking. That's one of the worst things you can do to your food is to microwave it. And so they just decided, you know, that it could, you know, the nuclear waste from all these tests and from all these equipment and everything, it can't be destroyed. It's dangerous and radioactive for billions of years. It's difficult to safely store because it's very expensive. They may not have known all this about the nuclear waste at the time, and from the explosions were so dangerous. But in the 1940s and 50s, eventually and evidently, they thought that the main precaution to take when viewing a nuclear detonation was wearing just a pair of welding goggles. Today, we know that explosions of this type are much more dangerous and should never be done to begin with. And unfortunately, the waste from these bombs, mines, and factories is still around. So, thus, the factory production of machines for wartime was transferred to make commercial products for civilian use, and there were stockpiles of toxic nitrate waste from conventional bomb manufacturing. They also had tar and sludge from the petroleum industry. From the aluminum and tin and other metal productions, they had toxic stockpiles of hazardous sodium fluoride and the like. And, of course, they had radioactive waste from mining uranium and its production for the bomb and industry and reactors. Now that the Second World War was over, the only way to win in commerce was to keep the profits high. Industrial leaders ordered, you know, their scientists to find uses for all these toxic chemicals because the storage and disposal costs were killing profits. They also ordered public relations specialists to convince society that mankind and science would provide all the answers with the real innovations with the nifty gadgetry. This was the opulent 50s, and these companies were seen as the backbone of America. And if you owned stock in any of these companies, your positions were known as blue chip. You had a two-car garage, and all your kids went to college. So the super spin began. We were going to feed the world. The nitrate waste was put on the crops as a fertilizer. They knew the crops would grow faster with more nitrogen, and this made a huge surge with more food production, so agriculture boomed. The brag fest continued. With the miracles of medicine, Americans would live longer than anyone on Earth, they said. Accordingly, the petroleum sludge was converted with further chemical manufacturing, and they found that certain compounds would raise and lower heart rates in lab rats. Other compounds would stimulate hormones, and other chemical derivatives would lower fat and sugar content and counts in the body. So animal testing, you know, in the animal body. So animal testing of chemicals made it easy to see what compounds would change body functions, and this is how the pharmaceutical drugs were born. Unfortunately, aggressive marketing can be highly deceptive. There's no bigger lie than what they came up with for the solution for cavities in human teeth. The truth of the matter is, to lower cavities, junk food candy production should be reduced or halted. That alone would bring cavities down. However, these artificial flavors and sweetener products they developed to make cheap candy were the result of laboratory conversion of chemical and agricultural waste. That increased cavities. Therefore, in equal proportion, cavities and candy production increase. At the same time, they had a plan to get rid of the toxic sodium fluoride. They had to find a way to get that, a substance that could only be handled with extreme care and wearing thick rubber gloves and a helmeted hazmat suit. Yet they convinced dentists and the public that fluoride prevents cavities. All we have to do, they claimed, is add it to the nation's public water supply to keep Americans cavity free. Most counties and municipalities in America swallowed this line, hook, line, and sinker, and paid for it with tax dollars and handled the toxic waste themselves and put it right into the water system. The chemical companies can now issue quarterly dividends. With more profits pouring in from such waste, the deception got even deeper when the spin doctors sold the public on the miracle of atomic energy. They deemed and kept quiet about the dangers of all the waste of the atomic weapons and energy production. However, mining and handling of raw uranium is dangerous enough. But once it's enriched and used as fuel, the depleted uranium, the DU, depleted uranium waste, is just as dangerous for your health as the reactor fuel. The spin was shrewd in the presentations to the big military brass and the neoconservative clique. At the weapons shows, they crowed. Now one of your regular soldiers can destroy a tank with a DU-tipped ordnance. Yes, the projectiles are so hard they'll go right through a tank armor just like a hot knife through butter. So back in the boardrooms, the CEO and the directors told the CEOs and the munitions companies that the munitions companies would pay for the DU, the depleted uranium, and haul it off. They said, we don't have to pay disposal costs anymore. Our customers will just come to the factory and pick up the depleted uranium. Perhaps you're worried by now, and you should be, because that's essentially what happened after the war. All those waste chemicals that were put to use to make a profit are not healthy for humans, and they're not good for the environment. But the fluoride compounds, you know, and the depleted uranium are toxic waste byproducts. Fluoride's in the water supply in all 50 states. Today, the depleted uranium dust, the DU, has been spread all over domestic environment due to weapons testing at home as well as in the Mideast due to the overt and covert military operations carried out by the U.S. and certain coalition partners. Our soldiers come home ill and delusional. This is a sick irony of the American military-industrial complex. But frankly, I don't want to risk the food supply or my health on the decisions of some chemical weapons experts. For illustration purposes, we just have to look at how that uranium is being recycled through our environment. And it's just not a good thing. Uranium toxicity is more common than you may think. Just the mines from the earth are the naturally occurring uranium isotopes of 234, 235, and 238. We also want to see that, you know, the half-life of these isotopes are about 447 billion years, about the age, present age of the earth. Okay, so these wastes are going to be around for a while. Even the naturally occurring isotopes of 234, 235, and 236 in the Earth's crust are the ones we usually find in our food growing near an area where they're mined. But there's also the depleted uranium, the DU, again, a waste byproduct from spent uranium from detonated bomb or from the spent reactor fuel or from those ordnances, you know, those uranium bullets. The toxic levels of dust left over from the impact of DU rounds or from detonation is about 4.5 billion years, and that's approximate age of the Earth, so it's going to be around for a while. Although all forms of uranium are dangerous with exposure, DU, you know, depleted uranium is the most lethal. It's linked to DNA damage, cancer and heart problems, birth defects, and other maladies so diverse and numerous, depending on what, you know, on the person and their amount of exposure, they even have a name to summarize it. Just ask any military veteran that's been to Afghanistan or Iraq about their health problems, and they'll simply refer to it as Gulf War Syndrome, and I'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
All right, we are back. You are listening to The Master Survivor. I am Johnny Delirious, laboratory naturopathic doctor, and we're flying like an eagle. We're going to be above this uranium toxicity, and I want you to know more about it. And unfortunately, not only uranium toxicities happen to Americans or others in the world, but we still have it. We still get it in our bodies, and the American Southwest still has nuclear dust from bomb testing in the late 1940s and 1950s, to which many of the citizens still are exposed to. I see it in the tests. When I do hair analysis, I see that, you know, a lot of my patients from Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, I see, you know, high uranium levels, okay? It just depends what you've been exposed to. And I'm going to talk about actual, in this next hour, I'm going to talk about actual case histories. I told you how I got well, how I went vegan to get rid of the viral load. I told you how I got rid of my scar tissue, you know, and then helping others You know, when I see that uranium way up and they're having all these problems and they're going to different doctors, nobody can figure out what they got going on. I do their hair test and I see that uranium so freaking high. I said, here's your problem. It's called uranium. Is that bad? I said, yeah, ask any Japanese if that's bad. Uranium's bad. So by the 40s and 50s, many citizens are still exposed to all this and all up to until today. Now with disasters like Fukushima or Chernobyl, we're exposed to uranium and other radiation health risks more than ever before, especially if you live in the west coast of the U.S. The disaster in Fukushima, they've already released a whole bunch of water that was cooling the fuel rods. You know, that's not totally clean, okay? So the media will not speak much about it because this is one of the first reactors that the mega blue chip company General Electric built, and they sold to the Japanese. But it was one of the first ones. It had some bugs in it. That's the bottom line. It hadn't been really tested, but that was one of their first reactors. There were flaws in design. And, of course, there was a breach, and many of them, you know, you don't see much about the leak on the news media anymore. But, you know, you've seen President Trump having many meetings with Prime Minister Abe, and I'm sure Fukushima came up in their conversations just every time. And I'm sure Abe probably wanted to get GE or someone to help fix this Fukushima situation. After all, the 2020 Olympics will be in Tokyo, okay? They don't want to talk about uranium or radiation right now because, you know, the Olympics will be in Tokyo. So at this present rate, the leakage of radiation, you know, will be worse than Chernobyl. But they're real hushed up. It's really hard to get the exact statistics of what's going on at Fukushima right now. It's a dire situation. In my work, I see increasing rise with, you know, uranium exposure in patients and related and the related health problems because of too much uranium. Okay, so let me talk about some actual study. I'm not going to say their real names. And I'm going to talk about some actual cases where I help people get over and get rid of their uranium, okay? There's lots of problems. If you get a lot of uranium, you know, you have all kinds of problems. But, folks, let me just tell you, you ask anybody that comes from Iraq or been to Afghanistan, they're exposed to that, these chemicals. And a lot of it is uranium and these other toxic heavy metals. Every veteran that I test, do a hair analysis for, I see the toxicity and I show them, hey, here's your problem, you see this, you see that. And so, you know, but we can reverse that. There's nothing that can't be reversed. Don't ever let any doctor say you're going to die. Don't believe them. If you really want to work hard and you want to live, then you can get over anything. I don't care what it is. Okay, it just boils down to your determination, will, to just, you know, hunker down and do the work. And you know, I use food. That's what I do with the Master Survivor Pro. That's how I heal myself. In the first part of the show, I was telling you how